Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Well, first up, let's just bring you up to speed with things happening today.
Brother Rakitic, Josip Pejerić, give him the space and time to play this in. Walker able to stab it up in the air. Trippier outdueled by Perisic. Mandzukic got there and scores! Mario Mandzukic! Croatia take the lead in extra time of the World Cup semifinal!
Congratulations to Croatia. They'll take on France on Sunday. And the third place game will be England against whoever France beat. Belgium, sorry. The waffles.
It's a Belgium dip.
And, you know, we found out that the winner of the third place game, the team gets $24 million, so it's nothing to sneeze at. And the winner of the World Cup gets $38 million. The second place, $28 million. Fourth place, $22 million. So, a lot of cash online. Professional sports. So, congratulations to Croatia. In extra time, I don't know how many Croats listen to this show, but way to go. I'm sure you're happy for your country. We have any nuggets from Croatia? No, I don't think so. Wasn't that the whole thing with the Joker and what's-his-face? Nurkic? Nurkic is from Bosnia. Is the Joker from Croatia? Serbia. Yeah. You got nothing to do with it. Another country. Sorry. Okay, anyways, way to go, Croatia. Rockies news. Rockies have reinstated right-handed pitcher Brian Shaw. Oh, boy. Oh, awesome. I mean, just when you thought you've seen enough of Jake McGee.
And this ball is hit a top of three-run home run to the second deck for Peralta, and now the Rockies trail 4-2.
I was at the game last night, Chad Brown in for Alfred, and every now and then you go to a professional baseball game, and the reaction when you see somebody hit a baseball like that is like, I didn't know somebody could hit a baseball that far. Like, there are moments occasionally when you go to a professional baseball game, you're just like,
whoa.
Wow.
You got to hold that thing.
Like, how is that possible? That was one of them. And, of course, Jake McGee, did such a great job walking the first guy, then giving up a double to a dude that can't hit his weight, and then giving up a 900-foot home run. That's one of those where the outfielders for the Rockies, I mean, don't even bother moving. It was like, as Chad, I'm not joking, to sit there and see that ball hit, there was just no doubt.
Just that only part of the body moving is the head, tracking that thing into
and then this.
To a divisional opponent that many times. This is well hit to center field. Just over his glove, and now it's 5-2.
Now, that was barely over Charlie Blackman's glove in dead center. It would have been an unbelievable catch by Charlie, but he didn't quite, get it. Well, I mean.
I'm happy we're past that.
Well.
Being played. Oh, I spoke too soon.
No. We're never getting past that. Are you kidding me?
Having the time of his life.
He just missed it.
Goodness.
Just missed it. And so 5-2, and then you feel like, okay, we're going to lose, and then...
Mess with it. This ball's well hit right center field. Did Nolan get a run back? You bet he did. 23rd for Arenado. It's 5-3. Told you Bradley's due for a market correction.
There's some children celebrating right now. The Children's Hospital as Nolan's rounding the bases. I'm sure that's one for several of those kids that are grinding away.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
That's what it felt like. And then in the bottom of the ninth, Charlie gets on, and then they get guys on first and second, and you're just like, come on, man. And then just Can't got guys in scoring position. Ionetta can't drive the ball far enough to drive him in with one out. Just bad baseball, man. You don't have to have superstar baseball. Sometimes you just have to have good baseball, Chad. Yep. And the Rockies could not provide good baseball. Guys hitting home runs off happens. These guys practice too. They get paid too. But when you walk a dude, no bueno. When you've got a runner in scoring position and you just cannot hit a fly ball as a major league hitter.
No bueno.
No bueno, man. We're not even asking you to get a hit. We're just asking you to put the ball in play. And in that particular at bat, Ionetta fouled the ball off the first pitch. Just hit the ball in the air, man. It's really not that hard. We're not asking you to hit a home run or even get a hit. We're asking you to hit a fly freaking ball.
I thought you got out earlier, but you got yourself riled up again, part two.
I know. Just drives me nuts.
So what happens tonight?
I don't know. I mean, Marquez will probably throw seven freaking great innings, and then we'll give up four runs in the eighth. I don't know.
All right.
Brian Shaw gets reinstated. Brian Shaw is back on the Rockies. Dilly dilly. I mean, let's see how it goes, I guess.
Dilly dilly.
McGee, man, you can't do that, dude. It was so disappointing. So there's that. All right, I got some fun little gossip.
What you got?
I got little birdies. I love my little birdies. On the stadium issue from yesterday.
Uh-huh.
What was one idea that came up that you really liked about Vail?
Vail Resorts Stadium at Mile High.
I found out quite a few years ago, there was a meeting with Vail Resorts about the naming rights. And they ultimately turned it down because they didn't think the people that consume football or really be attracted to it were really their primary customers. So they ultimately turned it down because they did not feel, marketing-wise, it fit their demographic.
Interesting.
Yeah, how about that?
I would disagree with that.
Well, that's what I was told.
Well, you know,
that's what I was told.
I have not been to Vail, but I've been to Winter Park.
Not owned by Vail.
Breckenridge.
Owned by Vail.
But my point is, while I've been snowboarding,
all right, let's talk about it a little bit. Breckenridge is like the most visited ski resort in America. Let's just start there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to help that all that much. I mean, it's kind of whatever's working is working okay for Breckenridge. It's the most visited ski resort in America.
Well, Coke and Pepsi still spend money on advertising. They're number one and number two.
I got you.
Bud and Coors still money on advertising.
We don't care about Breckenridge. Let's talk about Vail.
My whole point of bringing those ski resorts up was to say, I see plenty of Broncos gear going down the slopes every time I've been there. And so for them not to at least take the anecdotal information of,
not worth their millions and millions of dollars. They don't think it causes the same bang for the buck as like going to ski shows or marketing in different ways.
Okay. I would, again, anecdotally disagree. When one in four people on the slope is wearing something Broncos, that seems to imply they're Broncos fans. Well, they enjoy football.
One in four people aren't wearing Broncos stuff, not at Vail.
Again, I didn't say I've been to Vail.
Have you never been to Vail?
I've been there, you know, but not recently.
Yeah, Vail thinks they're Europe.
But they own more than just Vail.
They do. They own Keystone. They are in a partnership with A-Basin. They're connected to them. So Keystone's more of a day trip, blue-collar sort of place, even though it's expensive. A-Basin's really kind of like, you know, we're really chilling out at A-Basin. We own Vail, which they think they're Gerstadt in Switzerland or something. That's how they view themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't even want you from the Front Range to go there. They don't care about you. They want the families to travel from Europe, from Mexico, from South America. You know, that's who they're geared towards. Aspen, totally different. Aspen's kind of more geared towards Americans, to be quite honest with you. Vail doesn't care.
I went to Aspen twice last year. It's fantastic.
Aspen's like USA. Rich USA. You got to have a couple coins there. But they're much, much, much more about the sort of American sort of feel for everything.
Yeah, you're just going to have to sit down for a $300 dinner.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be expensive, but you still feel like you're in America. You go to DeVale, and, you know, there's a little attitude there. Now, they also have, like, I don't know, the greatest skiing on earth, so they got that going for them. And they're really close, relatively close to get to, you know, there's only 2 hours away if you don't have bad traffic. Copper's like a family resort, and it's not owned by Vail Resorts. They don't have the money. They couldn't do it anyways.
Right.
Anyways, I just want to give you the information that it's interesting that that had come up. Vail Resorts is doing great. They just bought Crested Butte. They run an incredibly successful ski company. They own all sorts of other places outside of Colorado. It's not on their radar. They would never do it. There you go.
Okay.
Thought that was interesting. Thank you, little birdie, for helping me out there. Got another little birdie.
Uh-oh.
This is a fun one.
Birdie number two.
Did you know the Broncos use iPads? You knew that. I know you knew that.
Every team uses Microsoft Surfaces.
Well, not maybe on the sideline, but I believe it's iPads the Broncos use, you know, behind the scenes with the playbooks and stuff like that.
Okay. Could be. I've seen both. But, okay.
The company, there's a local company here, and I'm forgetting the name, and we had the guy on from that company, Big Sexy, if you can remember it. But really innovative company. I'm sorry I'm forgetting their name right now. But they pioneered this technology, and now they're just selling it all over the place, where you put all the information on the playbook, the digital playbook, and they can control it. So if you get cut,
you
press a button, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
They can upload it to you.
Mm-hmm.
They recently did a training where they gave out thousands and thousands of iPads to Starbucks, and everybody at Starbucks did the same training at the same time. What's the name, Big Sexy?
Company's called PlayerLink.
PlayerLink. So the Broncos have had this technology, and PlayerLink started with the Broncos, and now they've kind of expanded. Part of it was you can track how often and what plays the players are studying.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the Broncos, I think I asked Musgrave or somebody, Vance, maybe, no, it was Musgrave. It was Musgrave. During the spring, I asked him, do you track how much the players actually study the plays? And he said no.
I believe him. Because, you know, the iPad, Microsoft Surface as a playbook has been around for a few years now. And all three of the internship spots I was at, the players got their playbooks via a digital tablet. And at no point in a meeting did anyone say, here, I got the numbers from the IT guys about who's studying what and who's spending more time on. It's never come up one time.
I believe you. And Musgrave gave an answer somewhat similar to that. But I found out from my little birdie that has not always been the case with the Broncos.
Mm.
That there have been times where previous coaches involved with the Broncos absolutely, positively have been tracking the player study habits. When Musgrave told me, I sort of said, okay, I don't assume you're lying, but I don't necessarily think you're telling the truth. Meaning, for most players, it's probably not an issue. But my bet, Chad, is if they're struggling with a player, if a player's just not getting it, my bet is they are absolutely calling up the IT guys, whoever he has to call up, and say, let's see what he's looking at.
I would agree with that. If I was a coach and I had one of my guys who kept making the same mistakes over and over, and I would talk to him after meetings, he would say, Coach, you know, I'm looking at my iPad every night.
Mm. Are you?
And after a couple of nights of hearing that, and you keep making the same mistake, I'm going to go to the IT guy and say, give me some details.
Wouldn't this be an amazing thing as a parent to put on your teenage kid? I mean, parents have heard the same excuses. I already did it, or I don't have any homework, or I did that already, something like that. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
It already exists.
How?
Well, you know,
you got a reading. Hey, did you read the book you're supposed to read? Oh, yeah. I'm fine with that.
There are school software programs that have similar type of technology.
I'm all for it, by the way. I'm all for unbelievable amounts of spying and hardly any privacy with parents to teenagers.
It was very easy to keep track of what my son was doing.
Good.
In school.
I'm a little more flummoxed by the situation, but, you know, my kid doesn't go to Valor. God forbid. My kid just goes to a public school where they're, geez.
But my daughter, she went to public school, and it was pretty easy to keep track of what she was doing.
All right.
Just because you don't understand.
Now, I think it's great. I think it's great that parents can spy on their kids nonstop. I am for zero privacy when it comes to kids and their parents, and I'm a big parents should know everything sort of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy at your own, discretion. Basically, I'm for privacy in terms of laziness. Like, parents deserve the right to just not have to deal with crap if they don't want to. But if they want to look in bags or check phones or whatever, I am go into rooms. I'm all for it. I don't think kids deserve
rummage
any
drawers.
Rummage through doors. Oh. Check under beds. Read through books. Yes, I think kids deserve zero privacy.
Okay,
until they're 18. And you turn 18 and whatever. The only reason I don't snoop more into what my kids do is I don't have the energy for it. I'm more or less just lazy. But I told my kid the other day, I go, I know everything you're doing, right? Like,
I've had that conversation many times. Like, dude, you're not going to do anything that I didn't do.
Yeah.
I see it coming.
Right. I told him, I said.
And you're not a very good hider anyway.
Right. And I told him the other day, we just take things. And just don't tell you every time we take something. So you haven't necessarily lost it. But he's a teenager, so he's so forgetful anyways. He just figures he's lost it. We on his 18th birthday, the stash of things we actually have, Chad, that we're going to present him is going to be stunning. I'm going to be like, well, you're 18, so here's a... Anyways.
I pass on grass.
Right. Right.
But I don't know how I feel about players, grown men, being spied upon by their coaches.
Is that spying?
Here's my question to...
Is that spying?
Here's my question, Musgrave.
Coach, the technology with the playbooks allows you to go back and actually look how long the players have studied, where they've studied. How closely do you guys track that?
We don't really track. I think we know whether our guys are into it or not. We've got a good group. So, we're not wiping a lot of noses or babysitting. We've got a good group on offense, and they've been tremendously into it thus far.
Yeah, but then I find out previous coaches in the Broncos organization do track it.
I would say if...
Are they within their rights to do so?
They're certainly within their rights to do so, and I would not go out of my way to even think about that information unless you gave me a reason to. Nor would I go to the...
Are you real? I don't know. I might. I might want a daily report.
I would not want a daily report. There's too many
things. Really? You want like a pie graph or something easy to consume?
And
like,
I don't want a daily report from the team security guy. Now, you keep coming in every morning with bloodshot eyes and barely staying awake in meetings. Then I need to go to the team security guy and say, hey, man, what's this guy doing every night? And the team security guy, he knows.
So I am the boss. I coach you. I'm the adult. You're the player.
Who's also an adult, by the way.
True. Young adult. Leading an accelerated, life that we previously talked about. I'm, as the employer, providing him free food, the clothing thing, the transportation. Like, I'm meeting every financially. I'm taking care of every desire. Why aren't I well within my rights to see what he's actually doing for me? Why shouldn't I get a report every day about what the player's been doing in terms of the playbook? I'm not necessarily talking about spying on him and he's, I'm watching him on a video camera out at a nightclub or something. Although I probably would appreciate that advice. Why isn't it, if I think it's an important thing to do to study the playbook, to know what he's doing, why am I not within my rights to do that?
What if he used his time wisely at work and studied the playbook there? What if he goes home and he watches games? What if he's got a...
Well, you can do that all on your digital playbook. You can watch every game you want. You can do everything.
Right. What if he wants to see it on the big screen and he has a different source?
I don't know. You tell me.
I watch game tape all the time. I don't watch it on the small screen. I watch it on the big screen.
All right.
So I'm involved in football every single day, but my iPad score would be zero because I prefer a different device.
Okay, so you're saying
it's going to give you an incomplete picture, and again, you're going to know, as Bill Musgrave pointed out, you'll know pretty quickly who's paying attention and who's not.
Gotcha.
So are you really going to gather any information that you don't already know?
So it's maybe more useful to confirm something you suspect.
Yes. If you keep busting plays in practice and you say you're studying at home every night and then I check your thing and you're not.
How many of the players do you think know that that can be monitored?
Every player knows.
How?
They've discussed it. I've heard them discuss it.
And what's that like?
I mean, at no point in last year in Jets training camp did Todd Bowles say, you know, guys, we can go to the IT guy and figure out.
He never told them that.
What part of the playbook you've been looking at, what clips you look at, and how long your iPad was on. Todd Bowles never said that.
Okay.
The players, they're not dumb. They know that.
They do know that,
though. I've heard them discuss that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they know that's out there.
They like it?
No one pushed back on it. You know, it was like, that's ridiculous, man. I can't believe they're spying on me.
Nothing like that.
Never heard any complaints.
Boy, you'd have to be some sort of stupid as a player to not understand, though, the importance of something like that, right?
Now, you know, did Michael Bennett tell all the rookies in Seattle, hey, guys, you know these coaches can look and see what you look at on your iPod.
He said that to him.
Yes.
Like everything.
Yes. You know, right. They can tell what you look at. They can tell how long you're watching tape.
Michael Bennett told his teammates that.
And he told it in front of me and the other defensive line coaches. And I thought, okay, great. Now we don't have to say that.
Right.
It's coming from you. Fantastic.
That's pretty good then.
Yeah.
That's good leadership by Michael Bennett.
I thought it was great.
What was the response to that in Seattle?
I think the rookies were like, really? And he was like, yes, they can tell everything that you do. They even have a GPS on them, so you're taking it to go to your girlfriend's house right before curfew. I guess supposedly they could find out.
Right.
So me and the coaches just laughed and smiled and didn't say anything.
When you were doing your stuff, did you ever, at your coaching internships, did you ever go over that sort of data?
No.
Never did?
Not as a position.
And you've done it for three different teams, and your fourth team is coming up.
Yeah, not as a position group, not as a defensive staff, not as a whole staff, not in a scouting meeting, not in any meeting was any iPad information discussed. Who busts plays, who's smart, who's not smart, who loves football, who's got a passion for football, who shows up to work sleepy, who we think is a weed head, all those other things are discussed. But the iPad use was never discussed.
Because maybe you just don't care. Like, because this guy doesn't get it. He's going to get cut. It's not happening. See you later. You know, the only... I understand that. I would find it interesting to see what my quarterbacks are doing.
I think it would be.
And specifically, you know, like a Paxton Lynch.
Right.
That would... Maybe the quarterbacks are on a different standard than other players. Like, maybe their accountability needs to be on a kind of a different level, reasonably, right?
Okay, I watched a Tom Brady documentary.
Yeah.
And there's clips of
Tom versus Tom. It was great.
He's watching game tape.
Right.
But he's watching it on a laptop.
Right.
And he's got a, you know, professional film watching remote connected to it.
Right, yep.
I don't think they make those for iPads. So Tom could... score zero, but you know Tom grinds every night, watches tape every single night.
Right.
So again, you know, are you really...
Who cares about Tom Brady? We got you, Tom Brady.
Right.
But what's...
What was Jimmy Garoppolo doing?
What was Jimmy Garoppolo doing?
Doing his rookie year, or Ryan Mallett?
What was Brissett doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how much were those guys... How much work when nobody was watching you were they doing? That kind of cliche.
Now, for me...
But the truth is, you can always be watched.
If I'm going to watch tape, I've always liked to watch it at the facility. It's a big screen. I got access to it all.
Yeah, but nobody does that now.
I do. I did.
Yeah, but now.
What?
Now kids grow, guys, pro athletes grow up with iPads. They grow up with technology. They're not doing that. They want the mobile nature of things.
Well, that's
rightfully so.
Because once you go home, you're not going to get it done. So stay here and get it done. Mm-hmm.
It's a different type of discipline.
That's also what Michael Bennett said.
Really?
Because once you go home, you're not going to do it. So stay here and watch tape.
Man, Michael Bennett sounds like a pretty good teammate.
He was a good guy. A little bit difficult to deal with sometimes, but he was a good guy.
All right, so the message is, despite what Musgrave said, that's not always been the case with the Broncos, and it makes me believe that perhaps, some players are being watched a little closer than others.
The way coaches are willing to go to any lengths to find information about players, I'm not surprised some staffs would try to gather that info.
That's the Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Kevin Anderson. Rafa outlasted Juan Martin Del Porto in five sets. Whatever. The Joker beat Kei Nishikori, and John Isner beat Milos Raonic. We got an American in the semifinals.
Hell yeah! So spoken like an American.
Maybe I should be avoiding all my horrible pronunciations and just say we have an American, John Isner, who I believe is 7'3", and he is in the finals or semifinals, rather.
Was that Bartolo Colon pitching?
Bartolo Colon could be pitching. He's still in Major League Baseball. He's fat.
He is,
but the dude can throw strikes. You throw strikes and you get out, so you can stay. They don't care.
There's not an eye test.
You know what his nickname is, by the way? Bartolo Colon. Do you know what his nickname is?
Big Sexy.
That's right.
Yes.
There's an eye test? I don't know. The eye test is can you get outs and throw strikes?
Well, I'm just, because you're the guy who put the eye test on Kirk Cousins because he wore a sweater vest.
Yeah, that was more about, the nature of his leadership and who he is as a person.
An eye test.
And what he's got going. Colon, you know what the deal is with Colon. First of all, they're pitchers, dude. They're not real people. They're pitchers.
Just explain that to me.
Pitchers don't have to lead anybody. Pitchers are barely part of the baseball team.
Are
they are freak. They're like the circus freaks.
They are not the baseball equivalent of kickers. No.
Pretty close.
No way.
They are close to it. They don't work out the same as the rest of the team. They don't do the same things as the rest of the team. They don't play the same as the rest of the team. They have their own little waiting area that they go away from the rest of the team to hang out in by themselves. The pitchers are freaks. They're barely part of the team.
Wow.
Like, position players don't bother, chatting up pitchers. There's no point.
Really?
Pitchers are like an unfortunate, you got to have them, obviously. They're really important. But they're really not baseball players. They're pitchers.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, obviously...
They're important, though. I mean, really important, obviously.
I was going to say, I think they're more an integral part of the game.
No. They're just specialists.
You rely on your pitchers. You don't necessarily rely on
You better
on your
treat
pitchers.
Them nice. You got to be polite to them, but you don't have to be friends with them. And they're basically total head cases.
Okay.
They're nuts. But they're super duper important. Now, when you're at the high school level and other level, I mean, you pitch, you play shortstop,
right.
you hit, it's all blended in. It's when you get to that, the only thing you do is pitch. When the only thing you do is pitch, like you don't touch a bat anymore, you're in a weird zone, man. You're just not the same as the rest of the baseball players. Again, you're really, really important. It's just like, I can only really be so, how friendly can you be with the long snapper?
Okay, but kickers are never stars. Pitchers are baseball
stars. That's true. Yeah. They're actually pitchers are more like goalies in hockey. Like, how friendly can you have you ever met goalies? Like NHL goalies?
I've never met an NHL goalie.
They're nuts. They're different. Yeah, they're off their rocker. They're different people.
And why is that?
What they do is so unique compared to everybody else on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only a couple of them, first of all, on any team. Like, there's less pitchers on a team than there are position players. Not a lot less. It's not quite as unique. But they just do something so specialized. And they can do things that the rest of the players can't even dream of, okay? But because they do something that's so specialized, they're really kind of just in their own world. And of course, they're unbelievably important. But because they've been isolated more or less their whole life,
mm-hmm.
they're just different dudes. But pitchers are the same thing. They just get isolated. They're just their own little crew. And then they divide them between starters and relievers. The relievers are more like the regular players. You know, there's a better odds that you play every day. You have to prepare every day. You know, you're kind of around, but like you're a starter. You pitch your 100 pitches, and then you could go to friggin', I don't know. Like I remember when Roger Clemens was finishing up with like the Astros or whatever that his final team was, and the concept I was like, well, why would you even take him on the road? For example, if Roger Clemens pitched on a Tuesday. And then they had a 4-day road trip, or any pitcher, doesn't have to be Clemens, but you pitch last night, okay? And you're Tyler Anderson. Why do you even need to come to the ballpark? Like, what's the point?
Get some rehab, stretch, loosen up a little bit.
Okay.
Get hot tub, cold tub.
Go home.
Okay.
Right? Like, why stay for the game?
That was my next question.
There's no reason. I don't know why they stay for games.
Are they supposed to?
It's dumb.
Is it mandatory, or do certain guys have they risen above that?
No, they have to. As far as I know, I think they really have to be at the game.
You got to dress out and do the whole thing.
I believe so.
And sit in the dugout. And
I think so.
Spit your seeds and have
I would
fun.
Change that rule. I wouldn't even if I had a starting pitcher and we took a relatively short road trip and he was definitely not going to play. I would tell him not to go. Like, what's the point? Just stay home, dude. Just work out at the ballpark. Like you say, get your work in, get your whatever you need. Well, why even go with us? Now, there are just like a couple of freaky deaky guys out there. Kyle Freeland's one of them. He's really good with the bat in his hand, or pretty good. I would rather have Kyle Freeland bunt if I had a bunting situation. So there theoretically could be a situation where I put Kyle Freeland in to pinch hit if I needed a bunt because he's an exceptional athlete and he's a good bunter. Most major league hitters are terrible at bunting because nobody does it.
So your idea is to acknowledge that pitchers are treated differently and just exacerbate that and make that even worse. Don't even go on the road with this.
Don't even
stay away for the next 3 days because you pitched last night.
Right. The position players don't talk to him anyway.
Make him completely different type of
dude,
citizen.
Did you ever talk to the long snapper?
Every day.
You did? Why?
Lonnie Paxton was a good dude.
Oh, Lonnie is a good dude.
Kendall Gammons was a good dude.
Lonnie is a good dude.
Jason Kyle was a good dude.
All right, who would you not talk to?
I talk to everybody.
Okay.
They're all important.
Eh. Lonnie is a good dude.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Works for GoPro now.
Yeah. Lonnie's awesome. He's like him and Brady were... One of my funniest Broncos story I ever saw. Because usually long snappers keep a pretty low profile. You know, usually they're pretty humble. Mm-hmm. They keep a low profile. We had Aaron Brewer here who was like doing... I don't know what space trip Aaron Brewer was on while he was here. You know, he never made a bad snap in 3 years. He was a lunatic on the plane ride home from the Super Bowl and he ended up getting cut. He was like the only guy who got cut from the Super Bowl team. Despite the fact he had never made a bad snap.
Bad influence.
He was on a permanent bachelor party, apparently. I mean, but he was really good at his job, but he was so off kilter off the field, the Broncos felt the need to cut the long snapper after the Super Bowl. He's with the Cardinals still, right? Yeah, he's really good at snap. I don't know if he's made a bad snap in 6 years.
He actually just in March signed a 4-year contract extension with Arizona.
Yeah, he's a lunatic, though. The stories of what his behavior was like on the plane back from the Super Bowl are legendary. I mean, it's unreal. Who gets cut right after the Super Bowl when you're a long snapper?
There's a reason why.
Yeah. Anyways, those are pictures, dude.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got it.
Head cases.
And you want to make it worse as a manager. Stay away. Don't even pretend to be a part of the team.
Yep. I don't know. I'll do anything. I'll babysit them. I'll set who. What do they need? I mean, if they want to be around, I just wouldn't require it.
Okay.
There's a lot of things in sports that are just dumb, that just shouldn't exist anymore. Football practice is about as stupid as you get.
Special teams are dumb. The kicking game is dumb. What? Give me the.
I can do it after the break. I can give you like
play the DMAC hits after the break. Sure. The dumb things in sports.
I don't have time. I can just do football. Why not just do football practice?
Give me the dumb things
dumb
in sports.
Football practices.
Break it down.
We'll do it next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and DMAC.
All right, Drive Reloaded coming up, and then Sandy Clough. I was listening to Sandy driving home from the game. Sandy is the best, man. I don't know if there's anybody I'd rather hear coming home from a game than Sandy Clough. And Sandy was right. He was breaking it all down. Like, Sandy's great. He knows all the names and the numbers and all that sort of stuff. It loses me sometimes, but Sandy's just drilling it.
Also great, this song right here, Rocket, Herbie Hancock. Classic hip-hop material right here.
I think I know why Big Sexy's playing it, so before I tell you how stupid football practice is, Dan, you have a question for Chad?
Yeah, Chad, was wondering, last night they were replaying the Orange Bowl against Notre Dame, and you had a really nice hit on Raheem Ismail. It was about third down and towards the end of the first quarter. Just wonder if you remember it, and also if it's true that Junior Seau was a late decline at CU, that he almost signed and became a linebacker with you guys.
Thank you, Dan. By the way, you're being very nice about your question about Rocket, because there's another way that you could go with that question, Dan, because you realize Chad missed the tackle on Rocket that should have cost CU their national championship. You realize that, right?
Well, there was actually a couple of clippings. First one was obvious, but if you look closely, there was two.
Oh, the calls went CU's way. But Chad certainly didn't know that at the time when he was being rolled by the Rockets. Correct, Chad?
Rolled is a strong word. Go Buffs, Dan. Absolutely. Lots of clips on that play. The play you're talking about in particular, yes, I do remember that play. It was like a delay kind of screen kind of pass, and I sniffed that thing out. And all week, you know, the coaches have been telling me, you know, I had a responsibility to keep an eye on the Rocket if he was ever in the backfield. So I read the play, sniffed it out, got a good jump on it before Rick Meyer threw that ball and put a great, great hit on Rocket. Almost cut him in half. And to D-Mac's point, yes, later on he got some
That was a special teams play, though. So to be fair, it wasn't an offensive play. It was a special teams play that you almost gave the cookies up on.
But still, it's a play. I'm on the field. I got to do my job. I didn't do my job.
I know. I can't even imagine having to live with that. And thank God you don't.
Oh, man. My whole life would literally be different.
Yeah.
Thank you, ref, for throwing that flag.
When you saw that flag, you must have just...
Oh, I was so happy.
I bet.
I was so happy.
It's just little turds like me that bring it up every once in a while.
It's okay. Because in the... You know that phrase, all's well that ends well?
All's well that ends well.
Yeah, so I learned the lesson of the mistake without having to suffer the pain.
What was your mistake on that play? It was a tackling mistake, right?
It was a tackling footwork mistake. I didn't get myself in a good enough position to hit him squarely. I stopped my feet too early and I lunged.
Mm-hmm.
There was no power behind my tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he was able to kind of jump and hop out of my arm tackle.
How should you have corrected that? What
I should have taken one more step with my footwork and then went for the tackle. I stopped my feet too soon because I was afraid he was going to throw a move on me.
Right. So you should have committed one way or the other.
I should have committed a little bit later. I was so afraid he was going to throw a move. I went hesitant.
Been a little more patient.
And didn't go confident into it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I was afraid of the Rocket. We all were.
He made you do that because you were afraid. He was intimidating because of just... That's what speed can do. Right? That's what talent can do. It can make you make mistakes that you normally wouldn't make.
All my life, I've been playing this technique where I run up as quickly as possible get my feet underneath me about a yard and a half away from you, and I make the tackle. But I was afraid that he had such an explosive first step that if I got any closer, he was just going to disappear and make me miss.
So your mistake was you just shouldn't have changed what you've always done.
I showed him too much respect.
Right, right.
And not realizing, you know what, I'm a pretty good player too.
Right.
And I can make this tackle.
Right.
Right.
Slippery, man.
Man.
I know.
So glad that hit the ground.
All right, football practice, why it's stupid.
Tell me why.
There's just, without going into a lot of specific details, there's just too many moments that after you warm up, you do nothing. That's all, really. And once you go through a thorough warm-up, you should go into action as often as possible to stay in that momentum sort of period. So without really grinding out what drills don't make sense and whatever, my biggest beef is that once you are prepared to play, you need to play and keep playing for as long as it makes sense. But if you really watch an NFL practice, they'll go through this lengthy warm-up, all these drills, and inevitably there'll be too many players too often that are just standing there for too long of a period of time. That's my biggest beef with football practice. Not the individual drills, not necessarily when you're doing special teams. The reason why I point out special teams is because that does happen in the middle of practice, and all of a sudden, a lot of your star players who don't play special teams are kind of left doing nothing. Now, you do have players. I'm about to give a compliment to Emmanuel Sanders, who appreciates the concept that I really need to be moving. You know, once I'm warmed up and I'm going, I need to be doing something. So if you look at a player like Emmanuel Sanders, and often it's with Demaryius Thomas, you will often see them just playing catch, doing something to keep their bodies moving and working on small little things. So I really commend them for that because it makes sense. A body in motion should stay in motion for the entire course of the practice. Part of the issue is the practices are just too long because you really should not be moving forward. For example, training camp is from like 9:30 to 12:30. You really shouldn't be, you know, in motion for 3 straight hours. That makes no sense. You need to have a certain amount of conditioning that makes sense to your position. You need to warm up, and then you need to go to it and participate with football the way you need to. But go watch a practice, and you will see a stunning amount of players who have warmed up, practiced, drilled, and all that sort of thing, and then just stand there and then are expected to go back into a practice situation at full speed.
I agree that's dumb. The best teams don't do it that way, particularly a team like the Seahawks, where speed and tempo was such a huge part of what they did. There was literally no standing around at practice.
Good for them. I haven't seen a Seahawks practice. I'd like to see one.
It's an amazing thing to watch if you're a football person because it's so strikingly different if you've seen a traditional style practice, to your point, where way too many guys are standing around.
So we inherently agree, more or less.
Yes, and more teams are shifting to that Seahawk-top model and getting away from traditional stand-and-watch.
All right, good stuff. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Big Sexy, the Strawberry Man. Hopefully the Rockies don't act stupid. Sandy will drive you home later tonight on The Fan.